Welcome to another episode from the NACE International's publications team on the COVID-19 podcast series. My name is Stephanie Chizik, and I'm editor-in-chief of Codings Pro magazine. Codings Pro is one of two magazines published under the NACE umbrella. The other is our sister publication, Materials Performance. Joining us today is Sylvia Fontes, certified industrial hygienist and director of Sacramento for Forensic Analytical Consulting Services. Sylvia is also a member of the core expert COVID-19 team at the Environmental Consulting Company. FACS's mission is to create experts, both staff and clients, who improve public health and the environment. They've written several articles on their blog pertaining to PPE certifications and returning to the workplace in the time of COVID-19. We're recording this interview on Thursday, June 11th, so please be sure to check back for updates and follow the guidance of health professionals such as the Centers for Disease Control. Sylvia, thanks so much for joining us.
Well, thank you, Stephanie, for the opportunity. I appreciate it.
So why don't you start by giving our listeners a bit of a background as far as your background and maybe also from FACS.
Sure. As far as my background is concerned, as you mentioned, I'm a certified industrial hygienist. I have been in the field of industrial hygiene for the last 35 years. My work has all been in California, but around the country with my clients. I have been involved in all different types of industrial hygiene from all different manufacturers, including even work in the Middle East during the Iraq wars, making sure we're protecting our workers who are rebuilding in the Middle East. We've had work in Guam and Korea, all over the world with my consulting. And then as with forensic analytical consulting, I'm the director of the Sacramento area. We have 21 employees here who do industrial hygiene and safety work for our clients. And that includes infection control. So the COVID pandemic kind of fell right into what we normally do. And we've been helping our clients with that.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds like an extensive background. I'm wondering, you know, you make me feel like because you're dealing with so many different cultures and countries, are there different policies that you have to help them guide them through? I mean, obviously we're all dealing with COVID-19 as a, you know, global pandemic, but I would imagine that how businesses are, I guess, legally required to handle those would be different.
In different countries, there are differences. Right now, we are dealing only with clients within the United States.
Okay.
So we're just following the guidance that has been provided in this country.
So you're out of Sacramento. What has life been like for the past few months now? I guess it's been a bit different for all of us, but what's it like for you guys?
It really has been a little different for us. But as I said, this is what we do. When we become an industrial hygienist, our job is to protect employee and public health. So this is really right up our alley, the type of work that we enjoy doing. So we just fell right in doing what we do best, which is making sure that we're following the research and helping our own employees as well as our clients to follow the appropriate guidance. So things have changed for us. In the aspect that our own employees have to protect themselves while we're out there helping. We've been doing respirator fit testing in healthcare settings. So our staff are right there with nurses and doctors who are treating patients who have been positive for COVID. So we've had to make sure that our protection is in place for our own employees as well as helping others.
Right. I want to get eventually, you know, to sort of how we get people back into the office. But I was looking at some of the blogs on your website. You have a lot of great resources there. And one of them, you know, I didn't even think about it, but it completely makes sense that not only is the wearing of the respirator, for example, does that matter, but how you take it off, like, you know, where do you touch it, then cleaning your hands afterwards, you know, there are a lot of steps involved that I didn't even think of.
There really are, and you're right, most don't think of that, but as you're wearing whatever type of face covering it is, whether it's a mask or an N95 respirator or a half-face respirator, and, you know, the Codings industry is very familiar with wearing all different types of respiratory protection, those are potentially contaminated inside and outside. And especially when we relate that to COVID, there would definitely be some contamination on both sides. We do have to be careful with the cross-contamination as you put that mask on, take it off, where you place it, then making sure that we're not touching our face as we're doing that. And then, of course, making sure that we either wash our hands with soap and water or use an antiseptic, you know, product to clean our hands with, because we've now touched something that is potentially contaminated.
Right. I suspect you're right that at least a lot of our contractor readers and as the people who are in the field are probably really used to this type of behavior. You know, I think of like lead paint or something like that, where.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. So they're accustomed to going through decontamination mm-hmm. when they're working with lead paint removal. And it's very similar when you're removing any PPE that you're wearing because of COVID, you're really taking it off in the same fashion that you would be when you're doing decontamination for lead paint removal. There's really not that much difference between the two. We just want to make sure that we're not touching our face, because that's how the virus will get into our bodies.
Okay. So what are you hearing then from your clients? It sounds like maybe some of them are familiar with these types of behaviors, but I suspect some are also new to it.
And we have quite a variety of clients. While we work with the coatings industry, we also work with healthcare and a lot of different manufacturing and office, you know, facilities that are managing office spaces. So coatings clients, very familiar with it. We are helping our coatings clients implement COVID procedures on their job sites mm-hmm. to make sure that they're, you know, in compliance, protecting their own employees and protecting the public. In reality, helping our coatings clients has probably been the easiest.
Okay.
Because procedures are very similar to what they've been doing. Helping, say, companies that are in office buildings, completely different procedures than they're accustomed to. So we've had to do a lot of education in that area with them.
Yeah. I mean, just in my personal life, I sort of mentioned Legionnaire's disease to a friend of mine, and she had never even heard of it. So she's in charge of her building. And I was like, okay, well, you know.
Well, and that is one of the things that we have in one of our blogs, is reopening your buildings if they've been closed. To make sure that waterborne pathogens are one of the things that we have to be concerned about, because when you've had your water turned off for 1 or 2 months, you've got some dead ends in that water and pathogens can grow. And Legionella is one of those. Uh-huh. So we do have to be careful as we go back into our buildings and turn things back on.
Yeah, I mean, I saw the ventilation was on there as well. Are there any specific tips that you could share with our readers or subscribers, listeners, whatever you'd like to call them? But I feel like, you know, it could be anywhere from a mom and pop shop who works in a small office to those larger contractor, you know, contractor firms who are maybe returning to the office more in a growing capacity, I guess.
As far as tips, they're going to want to make sure that they go through their office and they do a good disinfection of their office. They're going to want to flush their water, so all their sinks and toilets and any other running water in the facility, make sure that it gets flushed really well before employees are back in there. As I said, disinfect, make sure that they've got all of their procedures in place before they come back into their facility, so that they're ready to go on day one when the staff is back in, that they've got all that they need in place there.
Mm-hmm. And it does seem like a lot of states, at least I know it's state by state, so are sort of deciding if they want to do it at a 50% capacity, or, you know, slowly turning back the wave to normal, the new normal.
Right. Whatever that new normal is. And you're very right. Every state is doing it a little bit differently. There is guidance from CDC and World Health Organization, but each state has their own guidance as well. And basically, when we're going back in, whether it's out on a coatings job site or whether it's in an office building, we really are looking at that physical distancing, mm-hmm. As well as our hand hygiene and wearing the face mask to protect each person. So the physical distancing is what is limiting the number of people that may be on a job site or in an office building or a restaurant. We just need to make sure that we maintain that physical distance to help slow the spread.
Right. I've seen some larger facilities, like in the shipbuilding industry, are changing the shifts so that, that can spread the people out over longer periods of time. I don't know if it's not an option for everyone, but it is for some.
Yeah, and what a lot of construction companies are doing is they are staggering. They're staggering the number of people if they can possibly do that. So that they're doing different jobs at different times and staggering their subcontractors that are coming in. So possibly going over a 24-hour period, maybe instead of a 10 or 12-hour period, and just not having everyone on the job site at one time so that they can maintain that separation between people when
Yeah,
possible.
that makes sense. Are you
Yeah.
seeing that? I know we don't have a crystal ball, but if you were to guess, how this might affect the industry moving forward, do you see any sort of patterns that might be emerging that could affect the overall hygiene industry or the construction industry in particular, or any sort of takes from that?
Long term, I think we're in this for a longer term than we probably would like to be. So that physical distancing, I think, is with us probably through the next flu season, would be our guess. But things are changing on a daily basis as we have new research coming through. And then forensic analytical, we're watching that data daily to make sure that we're up to date. But the physical distancing is going to stay, the hygiene is going to stay. I think it's going to be a long time before we get rid of that. To make sure at least through the next flu season until there's a vaccine and some immunity in the community with it.
Where do you get all that information when you kind of distill it all? Is it coming directly from, I don't know, the CDC or?
Well, within Forensic Analytical, we have formed an expert COVID team where we're meeting three times a week. We're looking at CDC, World Health Organization, a number of other facilities, EPA with their disinfectants, a number of other sites. And what we do is not just look at what those organizations are saying, but we actually look at the research that they are citing, and we look at that actual research so that we can see what the researchers have concluded, as opposed to what somebody else might be summarizing it. We want to look at that actual research.
Right,
So
from
that's what
the
we're doing.
primary source, yeah.
Exactly.
We're definitely familiar with that on the writing side of the house, when you're writing an article, you want to make sure that you're getting it from the horse's mouth, so to speak.
Exactly. Yeah. So we've been looking at as much as we can on a daily basis to stay up to date because there is new information coming out almost daily. And it changes our processes.
I'm sure. I mean, and I can't even imagine, I didn't even think, so you said you're meeting three times a week. There, of course, there's so much else going on that you have to be concerned about at your job. It's not all COVID all the time, so
Exactly.
what other?
Exactly. It isn't COVID all the time, but for some of us, it feels like it is right now.
Oh yeah, I'm sure. What other sorts of projects are you guys working on over at FACS?
We do quite a variety of service lines. So we are involved in asbestos, lead, and mold work. We do a variety of industrial hygiene. So we're out doing exposure assessments. So, for instance, on a coatings project, doing the exposure assessments for the lead or methylene chloride or NMP, depending on what they're using to remove the lead paint. We are out on all kinds of construction sites, office buildings, any type of manufacturing. If there's a welding operation, we'll do exposure assessments for the welding fumes, mold assessments. We're in healthcare. If there's a water leak, we're making sure that that's taken care of so that we don't have any mold growth, inside a healthcare facility. We're doing, things like waterborne pathogens for our clients. We do PCB work. So if they're doing a building demolition or remodel and they need to know where there's PCBs, we will monitor that as well. Basically, anything that has to do with the health of an employee or the public as they're out near work sites, we're wanting to make sure that we're protecting them.
And then so you make an analysis, and then what do you do with that? Or do you give recommendations, or how does that work?
Absolutely. So, for instance, if I'm out on a job site and I'm doing an exposure assessment, let's just say it's for hearing conservation, and we're looking at what their noise exposure is. We will compare those results to the OSHA recommendations, their permissible exposure limits. We'll be observing the employees as they're working, so we will provide recommendations as to what they need to lower their noise exposure or their chemical exposure. Recommendations for that, do some training for the employees to help them understand what they need to do, protective equipment, engineering controls, and whatever we can recommend to help lower that exposure so that we can prevent the illness from occurring.
Okay. I wonder if we could compare you guys to sort of the hygiene side of the house, similar to what our coatings inspectors would do. So I had someone one time explain it as that they are the umpires, they're not the policemen. So they sort of, you know, here's where the strike zone is, and we're trying to guide you to hit that strike zone.
Well, that sounds familiar. We're definitely not the policemen. We don't do any enforcement. Mm-hmm. So we are there as consultants and providing recommendations for our clients. We hope that we're partnering with our clients. That's what we strive to do, so that they're trusting us and we're training them to be, you know, experts as well, so that they can move forward and implement those recommendations and protect their staff. Mm-hmm. We want everyone coming back to work as healthy as they, you know, were the day before. That's our goal.
Absolutely. Definitely a challenge when you can't engineer all of those safety concerns out of the job site, so to speak.
Yeah. Exactly. We try and engineer out as much as we can, but as you said, it's not possible to do that for everything. Mm-hmm. But we certainly try.
Yeah. You got to do it. Makes sense.
That's right. Exactly.
So obviously right now, before we even started recording, we were talking about, you know, the moving to the work from home sort of atmosphere. Are there any types of suggestions you could give to our readers pertaining to hygiene or not, you know, but in this sort of more or new virtual world for people?
As far as coming back into the workplace?
Yeah, coming back or if people are still stuck sort of at home, potentially trying to do their jobs as best as they can.
As the best they can from home. And it has certainly been different for a lot of people who haven't worked from home. Definitely want to make sure, one, that you're taking care of yourself, whether you're at home or you're at work. We're finding a lot of people who are stressed being at home. They're not moving around necessarily as much as they would have been. They're kind of getting some fatigue from doing all these wonderful video conferences, kind of stuck at their computer a little bit more. So, you know, definitely taking care of themselves. Making sure that they're following, you know, personal hygiene at home as well as in the office. But I think the transition back to the offices is happening slowly for sure. A lot of offices are just bringing back a few employees at a time so that they kind of get used to that process before they bring people in. But, you know, to make sure that they follow procedures in the offices as well. Even within our office, we kind of staggered our staff. We're mm-hmm. making sure that people are spread out a little bit more. People are still working from home, so we've got extra office space in here, so they don't all have to be crowded in together at the same time. Mm-hmm. So just, you know, take their time and make sure that they continue to follow the processes that have been put in place.
That's awesome. Yeah, I think that's a good point. Take care of yourself when you're... It's so easy to lose sight of that, because if you're not leaving your house, you know, there's no gyms necessarily or what have you, so that's great.
Right, yeah. Here the gyms are just starting to reopen, and that's going to be a process too. I think I'm going to stay out of the gym for a little while.
Okay.
And I'm going to just be hiking and, you know, bike riding outside for a while. A lot of outside activities are going to be much healthier for us for a little while.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's definitely what I've been hearing as well.
Yes.
Any like silver linings or positives? I'm trying to end on a, you know, positive note so that we can walk away from these episodes with sort of, you know, well, this has been hard for us, but it's been a nice experience in X, Y, and Z sort of way. Anything you want to share?
Well, I think it has been difficult for people, but there are a couple of silver linings. I think we have learned that we can do more work from home than people thought that they could do. Video conferencing actually is a very good thing. Our company's been doing it for a long time with our clients as we present proposals and talk about reports. So people are learning how to use that technology as well. And I think all of that is good mm-hmm. for us. And we're going to learn that we really can do work in a variety of settings that we just didn't realize that people could do before. So I think moving forward, the workplace will change to some extent, because I think a lot of people will continue to work from home at least part time, and we'll move forward with that. But the other thing that probably has helped us, I really see that in the future, we've certainly learned a lot more about our hygiene and protecting ourselves from transmissible diseases. So I would hope that we carry that into the next flu season, the next cold season, so that perhaps we'll see less transmission of the common cold and the common flu in the next season. So because we've learned more about that personal hygiene, and maybe we'll have a little bit less illness all the way around as a result.
Yes, take the 20-second hand wash past COVID-19.
Continue it forever, and I think we will see less of the transmissible diseases in the future. At least that's what I'm hoping for if we continue it.
Yeah, that's awesome. Awesome. Well, thanks so much, Sylvia. I appreciate your time. How can people reach you if they want to follow up?
Well, I would love for people to reach out if they have any questions. I can be reached at my email, which is just sylviafontes@forensic.com, or my phone number is 916-242-4140. They can reach either place.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for taking the time with us today, and look forward to hopefully meeting you sometime in person in the future.
Great. Thank you, Stephanie. I appreciate the opportunity.
Okay. Bye-bye.